We know that Chazal, if Ksuba is the Rabbanan, so Chazal were misaking the Ksuba in order so that it shouldn't be Kalo Be'enov Lotzia, should be not so quick to divorce one's wife, because you know there's going to be a financial penalty associated with that. But the way Rishonim presented is that Chazal were only concerned about this for a strictly Orthodox woman. If the woman is not so careful in her adherence to Jewish law in a manner that affects the husband, then we want it to be easy for the husband to divorce her, and in fact, he's encouraged to do so. So one example of this is given in the Mishnah, Ksubas on Daf Ayin, Beis Amud Aleph, Elu Yotzu Shelo B'Ksuba. These women, even if they had a Ksuba originally, which you're supposed to have, so it doesn't count. If you want to divorce her, you don't have it to pay the Ksuba at all. However, Al Das Moshe Vihudis, somebody who violates Das Moshe, the law of Moshe, presumably various shades of Torah law, and Das Yehudis, which the Mefarshim explain is the minag that Jewish women have accepted upon themselves, and the manner of behavior that they view to be correct, above and beyond that which is strictly required by Torah law, and we'll see in a minute exactly different interpretations of what exactly that might entail and how binding it is. Hezu das Moshe, so what's das Moshe? Machilatu sheino me'osar, meshamashtu nida, so things that she's machil him. So if she makes him think that she's going to the mikvah, but she's not going to the mikvah, she's feeding him, she's not meistering the food properly, and he's eating treif, so based on her account, then that is a biblical violation. So therefore, since she's being machil him, so that is a violation of das Moshe, so she doesn't get her ksuba. It's machlokas rishonim, whether it's specifically things that she's machshel him that's considered das Moshe, or other things might be considered das Moshe, as we get to in a second. Beizui das Yehudis, what is das Yehudis? Yotzev roshe parua v'tova v'shuk. So, for example, if she goes out without a head covering, or if she spins in the marketplace, and the Gemara gives a couple of reasons why that might be wrong. One of which is that she's exposing her arms, which is similar to exposing her hair, which is Yotzev Rosh Hapura. So the Gemara asks the question, Yotzev Rosh Hapura deraisahi. So a woman going with her head uncovered is an Isser deraisa. It literally means Isser deraisa or not, or whether it's just entrenched in a biblical citation, and therefore it's completely binding and unchangeable is perhaps not entirely clear, but the simple reading of the Gemara is that it's an actual biblical violation for a woman to go out with her head uncovered. If Siva Faras Rosh Haisha by Sota, says that the Kohen uncovered the woman's head, undid her hair, v'tana devei Rabbi Shmuel, as her levos nisrael, shel yeitzu b'fei rosh. So the Tana devei Rabbi Shmuel says explicitly that you derive from this verse a requirement that Jewish women have to cover their heads when they go outside. So the teretz is, d'araisa kalta shaper dami, das yudas afilu kalta nami yasser. That on the d'araisa level, something called a kalta, and we'll see various explanations for that in a second, is sufficient, but for a das yudas, then even the kalta, whatever that is, insufficient. Amar, so they accepted upon themselves to wear something more substantial on their heads than a kalta. Amar Basi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kalta ein bo mishum perosh, quotes the statement that kalta is completely permissible. It's not, it's a machlok is exactly what it means, but I assume a kalta doesn't violate this prohibition of going out with bareheaded. So how could that be? We just said that that's the way we explained the Mishnah, that this is talking d'araisa, kalta is good enough, das yudis, kalta is not enough. So aviv arbzera hecha ilema bashuk das yudis, if she wears it in the marketplace, das yudis, vela b'chotzer, imkein lo yinach tabas lavram avinu, shiosheves tachas baila, if you say kalta is not a problem of pirosh, that she has to wear it even in her courtyard, so then everybody's going to have to get divorced, because no women adhere to the standard to wear even a kalta in their courtyard. Whether you have to wear a kalta in a courtyard, you don't even have to wear a kalta in the courtyard, is a machlokas rishonim, and we're not getting into that. Second, Amar Abayi, same Rav Kana, mechatz lechatzar v'derech movei. So this is the place where kalta is sufficient, and you don't have to have a more stringent level of head covering than that. So the basic idea comes out is that the raisa of head covering is only if she's not even wearing a kalta, and in the shuk, that in the marketplace, then it's nisr daraisa, but in a more private area, so it's not a problem of the raisa, and even possibly a problem of the rabbanan if she wears a kalta in a more private place, so whatever that is. So what's the problem with a kalta? Why, what could a kalta be? That would be the raisa mutter. And das yehudis, the minag is that even a kalta is insufficient. So the shita mikubetz is there. So the first explanation that the Shita brings of what a kalta is, the velo kalta asur min ha-Torah, if she's not even wearing a kalta, it's forbidden min ha-Torah to go out with that. V'im kalta mutar min haTorah. With the kalta, she's allowed to go out min haTorah. V'ein b'mishum berosho das yudis afil kalta na miyasar. So what's kalta? Here's the million-dollar question. A perish kalta kipa shemanachas arosha lechasas ba'asaser. A skull cap, some sort of skull cap type of thing that she puts on her head to cover the hair. So you can imagine it's like one of those big breastlover yarmulkes or something that's huge and it really covers her hair. And yet, for some reason, Das Yehudis, the women were makabel on themselves to be extra stringent. They didn't even wear a big breastlover yarmulke. They wore something more substantial. Exactly how is a little bit, we'll try to discuss more in a second. But that's not the only explanation. The kippa shemanachas ba'al harosh lechasas ba'aser, a skull cap that she wears on her head to cover, is not the only explanation of what a kalta is. In fact, we know that the word kalosos, like them in Maseches Bikurim, talks about a basket, that you bring the Bikurim in a basket, which is the same word as this. So maybe it means a basket. So what does that mean? So that is, I skipped a second. So the first he quotes the Rivash. So Perish, what is the Rivash say kalta? It's Shasaira Megula Belira did, that she's wearing this thing on her head, but still some of her hair is uncovered, and that would be sufficient at the rice level, but Das Yehuda still answers it. And then the last one is Rashi Madarakama. So Sal Shemanachas es Pilchabo, that there are spinning tools. So he says that it really is. Rashi says this, or Rashi says it on the Gemara as well, that kalta means a basket. So what's the problem with a basket? Why would a basket be problematic for a woman's head being uncovered? Because a basket is woven, and you could see her hair between the weave of the basket, so that's a problem. So according to this, what's the pshat? The pshat is that d'oraisa, if you could see a woman's hair a little bit, it's still okay, that's not considered rosha parua. But the rabbanan, the women were makabel on themselves to cover all of their hair. So according to this, it's very simple. As long as you wear a head covering that covers all of your hair, finished, your yotze, das yehudis, and no problem. And that seemingly that should be the same for the rivash as well previously. However, if you hold that a kalta does cover all of the hair, of the pshat and kalta, that it's kippa al rosha, seemingly, that maybe it doesn't, but seemingly that if the kalta does cover all the hair, so what's the pshat that's not good enough, midaraisa? If it covers all your hair, what more can you do? So the Das Yehudis has to be something even more than that, yeah. Shemanachas al rosha lechasos ba'zer, the point of the garment is to cover the hair, so it sounds like it's completely covered. And Akinami, it's not mechrach, you're right, 100%. It could be that it's not. You're right. Okay, so then the Rabbeinu Yohanan says something very similar. So we'll skip to the end of what he says. So the reason that the kalta is not a problem in a more private place, as the Gemara says, so she'ena shereina shoa sham klum, towards the end of source number 3, she'ena shoa sham klum vein sarosea nirin kolkach livnei mavui bein hanekovim. So even though there is a weave to the basket, and you could see her hair a little bit between the weave of the basket, still, that's not a problem in a private place because the Bnei HaMavoi, the people who are hanging out in the alleyway, are not going to stare so hard that they're going to look in between the weave of the basket to see if they could catch a glimpse of Mrs. Cohen's hair, but they're going to just see that she's wearing a basket on her head and her hair is covered and finished. But in the shuk, in the outside, when she's going shopping in the marketplace, then she needs to wear mamish, a head covering that clearly and totally covers all of her. So according to all these things, pshat is very simple. Like I said, das moshe, some hair being uncovered is okay. Das yehudis, some hair being uncovered is not okay. And the women accept it upon themselves that they have to cover all of their hair. So you're going to jump up and down and scream at me. How could it be possible that a woman could show her hair in any situation when there's going to be other men present who are not her husband and who are forbidden to see her hair? There's a Gemara in Bracha says, that's really talking about Krishma, although not all, the Rambam doesn't seem to interpret that talking about Krishma. But in any case, a simple understanding of the Gemara in Bracha is where it says, Sayar Beisha Erva, that the hair of a woman is considered to be nakedness. So according to that, if you assume that when the Gemara says something is Erva, the Gemara over there says Shok Beisha Erva, that a woman's leg is Erva and a woman Kol Beisha Erva, woman's voice is erva. So if you assume that the Gemara there is prescribing an isser for a man to see a woman's hair in any situation, so how could this be possible? How could it be that even in a mavoi, if there are going to be other people there, that she could wear a head covering that displays, in fact, some of her hair, at least if you look carefully? So in fact, that assumption that the Gemara, when the Gemara says ex be'isha erva, that that is a legislation that a woman is required to cover that body part in all circumstances and not allow men to see it at all is a little bit questionable. It's a very much a longer discussion. We can discuss it maybe more another time. That's somewhat of a questionable assumption. So that's made explicit by the Tosfos HaRosh, and Tosfos HaRosh and Brachos over there says as follows. The Amar Chista Shok Be'Sherva, this is talking about the fact that the Gemara says that a woman's leg is erva, that you can't say Kriyashma in front of it if it's exposed. Delo Temai, why does the, what's the Chiddush? Of course, in those days, all women cover their legs, so it wouldn't be Shaila. Of course, Shok Be'Sherva causes Hirhorim. So, of course, Shok Be'Sherva, what's the Chiddush? The Rosh explains, Delo Temai, Pa'amim Shaisha Magbahas Begadeha, Vein Darko Leos Mechusa. Sometimes, let's say there's a puddle, and the woman wants to cross the puddle, and she doesn't want to get her clothes dirty, so she lifts up her skirt. And kamash b'landa havi erva. Even though the Toys R Us says the Gemara means exactly the opposite of what you might have assumed it meant. You might have assumed that the Gemara here was legislating that a woman had to cover her leg, but that's not the case, according to the way the Toys R Us is interpreting it. Toys R Us is saying no. The fact is, sometimes a woman's leg is not covered, and therefore, that's why that reason that it might not always be covered is the reason that the Gemara had to tell us that Shok Be Sherva. I guess in those days, women didn't wear stockings. They just wore long skirts, so they had to pull it up to cross the river, or a puddle, or whatever. Or sometimes if she has to run, like you see in old pictures or something. So, and that's the case, then there is no legislation. Again, the post-game assumed that there is some sort of legislation involved in the Gemara over here, that ex be'isha erva, but according to this Mahalach, so it seems clear that, in fact, the reason that the Gemara might be, that would be mutter for a woman to wear a kalta in the mavoi, in thus the alleyway, even though it does display some of her hair, that the reason for that being mutter is that, in fact, there is no isser per se that a woman has to cover her hair at all times, every single strand in front of any man who's not her husband, but in fact the reason the Gemara had to say Arbei Sherva, the reason it had to say it in the first place was because of the fact that sometimes it's Megula, sometimes a woman's hair is not covered, like if she's wearing a kalta in the chutzer, and therefore it's not a kasha from the Gemara of Arbei Sherva why a kalta is mutter. Nice that anyway, so it doesn't say it's usher for her to lift up her skirt, lest the man ever see it. No. So sometimes she has to lift up her skirt. Yeah, nothing on me. I didn't say anything about mutter for the man to look at it. As we'll see from later postgame, which we'll get to in a minute, perhaps it is better for a woman to cover all of her hair all of the time. I'm talking Medina the Gemara over here. Even it could be it's the man's obligation not to look. Anachinami, I'm just saying that according to this Mahalach, so the Gemara of Seir B'Sherva does not technically require a woman to cover all of her hair in the presence of a man other than her husband. Anachinami. Because in the Midoraisa, she only has to cover hair in the shuk in the first place. In the house, she doesn't even have to cover at all, even if another man is there. In Achinami. I'm just saying there's no kasha from the fact that, how could you say that even Vishum Das Yehudis is mutter for women to wear a kalta in the mavoi, you could say that another din comes and requires her to cover her hair at all times, to cover all of her hair in the mavoi. The din of Seir B'Sherva. No, but I'm saying but that's exactly what I'm saying, that you can't read Kriyashma in front of her hair in the mavoi, even if she's allowed to display it. In other words, the poskim sometimes tie it in together. Yeah, the poskim tie it in together, that Seir B'Sherva require... What?
But you were also tying it.
The dinim interplay with each other, but they're not Hainu Hach, the Seir B'Sherva and Das Yehudis. So the big question is, however, so what's the pshat in Das Yehudis? Das Yehudis, the Mefarshim say, is the minag atznius shenagu bo benos Yisrael. So does that mean that it's subject to every place and time is perfectly authorized to create their own minag? And let's say the women decide to dispense with what the Mishnah calls Das Yehudis, and they want to go back to the Din D'Oraisa, whatever that is. Let's say they just want to wear a kalta in the shuk. They want to go around the shuk with a basket or an incomplete covering. Let's say that the minhag develops that way by itself. So is that okay or not? Or is it something more akin to, let's say, Shivanakiyam? Shivanakiyam antipas dam kechardel, which was started as Bnos Yisrael hechmir al atzman, and then the Rabbanim decided that this was gevaldik azach, so they legislated it, that this was absolutely unchangeable law. So is maybe Das Yehudis is that it, since the women in those times, whatever the Rishonim are discussing, the times of the Gemara, decided to accept on themselves the standard of covering all of their hair, according to this mahalach that we were just discussing. So is that completely unchangeable, and women for all times have to observe Das Yodis the way it was observed in the times of the Gemara, or could they change the minhag? So it's a little bit unclear from most Rishonim, and if the Shulchan Aruch, exactly the way they interpreted it. But the Rambam, on the other hand, is extremely clear that he interpreted it. He has a whole different mahalach in these things, which we'll get to say in a second, but the Rambam certainly interpreted it as that it's subject to the minhag of the place and the time. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Ishus, when Perek Avdalet, when he's discussing what types of things get a woman divorced without iksuba, ve'ilhan edvarim shimasas echam yan avral das Moshe, what constitutes das Moshe, yotze v'ashuk v'seya rosha galoi, if she goes out in the shuk and the head of her, the hair of her head is uncovered. So he interprets the Gemara's kasha that rosha pura daraisa he is, why didn't the Mishnah count it as part of Das Moshe, if it in fact is a Daraisa Dika type of Isser. So according to the Rush is the opinion that only counts as Das Moshe if she's machshel him in something. So the Gemara was just saying Stam, it's a Daraisa Dika source, so it's not so appropriate just to call it Das Yudas, but he's not exactly calling it Das Moshe. There's no real nafkamina, but in fact the Rambam seems to hold that Das Moshe, the only difference between Das Moshe and Das Yudas is Daraisa versus not Daraisa. And so he says that if a woman goes outside with the hair of her head, Goloi, that's a violation of Das Moshe. So what does he mean, first of all, Sar Rosha Goloi? Does he mean you're only over Das Moshe if she's not wearing any head covering at all? Or does he mean that even if part of her hair is uncovered, that's still a Daraisa Dika violation? So not agreeing with the opinions quoted in the Shita, last two opinions quoted in the Shita and Rabbeinu Yonasan, he might hold that it's he's unclear. You're not really sure exactly what he means. If it's a partial or a full uncovering, that's the Daraisa Dika Isser. And we'll see in a second why it's even clearer later on that it is in fact unclear in the Shita Rambam. Beizui Das Yehudis, what is Das Yehudis? Umina Gatsnias Shenagu Benos Yisrael. Veilen Advarim Shim Asas Echad Miyam Avral Das Yehudis. Yotza Lashuk Olamovoi Mefulash, a more public area. The Rosha Parua. The Ein Aleha Redidkis Shar Hanashim. She's not wearing a shawl like all the other women. Afal Pi Shesara Mechusa B'mitpachas. That even if her hair is covered with a kerchief, just the hair by itself is covered with a kerchief, completely covered with a kerchief, even so, that's insufficient for Das Yehudis according to the Rambam, because she has to wear a shawl that, you see the pictures of the Taimani women from the old country, that they're wearing these shawls that cover, completely drape them over their shoulders, and that's a much more substantial covering, more tzniyistic, than simply a kerchief that just clings to the hair. So if that's the case, that the women in that place are knowing the only wear a redid, then that constitutes Das Yehudis, and so seemingly the Rambam holds that that's even Shan the Gemara. He's applying to what they were knowing in the times of the Rambam, that they used to wear a kerchief on top of redid in addition to a kerchief, or instead of a kerchief, that's the Shan the Gemara, that Kalta is a kerchief, not a basket. So the Rambam makes this even clearer in Perek Yud Gimel, which is source number 6. Mekomo shedarken shelo teitze isha b'shug b'chofach shal rosha. The printed editions say b'kipa shal rosha, but the manuscripts say b'kofach, so we'll go with that girsa. Ad sheyela redida chofes kol gufa kimotales, no sin la b'chol aksus, redida pochus b'chol aredidin. So it's beferish that a redid is subject to the minhag ha-mokum, halacha l'maisa, that it's subject to what women actually do. So if the minhag is to go with less, then that is completely sufficient. So it's really, by the way, not correct. There are some people who take this as halacha lemaisa, and they insist that halacha lemaisa, a woman has to wear two head coverings. Because the Gemara says, the Rambam says, a mitpachas isn't enough, a kerchief is enough, she has to wear a redid on top. So therefore, they hold that he means bedavka number two. She has to wear a redid on top of a mitpachas, which is not correct. Who says she can't just wear a redid alone? And first of all, what women wear nowadays doesn't constitute a redid anyway. If you wear a hat or a sheitel or anything like that, it's certainly not what the Rambam is talking about with the redid. So it's a little ridiculous to insist that a woman wear bedavka two head coverings. I've heard that some briskers in Eretz Yisrael like to be makbid on this, that their wives wear a very tight fitting, like a swimming cap or something like that, and they wear a sheitel on top of that. The way I see it, you gain absolutely nothing with that, but I don't know. They feel like it makes them feel better that they're being Mekayim the Rambam. Or maybe they think also then the Sheitel, because there's Shaila about a Sheitel, so the Sheitel isn't covering her. The Sheitel isn't what's covering her hair. There's a thing underneath that's really covering her, and then the Sheitel is just the decoration, which is also, you can understand for yourself that somewhat. I'll get to that in a second. Oh, yeah, yeah, the wear a hat on top of a Sheitel? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, that's also part of the base of the Chassidus Sheminag, also because of Maris Ayin. Possibly, that's part of the reason. One of the reasons for it, but the simple reason is that should be more of a heker, that she's married. That she shouldn't look like she's not wearing anything at all. That just they thought just the Sheitel was insufficient, but I'll go into more into the Sheitel in a second. It's also a name of an oven, yes, but in this, not the Gemara. So the Rambam in Perush HaMishnayos in Maseches Kalim explains that a kofach is just another type of kerchief that a woman wrap around their heads. So if you look at this, so what do you think is more substantial? A mitpachas that the Rambam asserted because of Das Yehudis in source number 5 in the Perek of Dalad, or a kofach, which is a more substantial head covering? Because in Hilchos Ish, in Perek Yud Gimel, he says that it's either a redid or a kofach that's muter lechatchila in a place where the women go out wearing one of those things that they wear, that even in the shuk is mutter. I think a kofach is more substantial. Because the kofach he said was muter lechatchila. You might think that there is some standard that's objective, that's not subject to the time and place, that either... Fine. So the source number in Hilchos Sota, that's my kasha, really. That he says that a kofach is less substantial than a mipachas. Vehi omedes beinehen below redid, not even with the redid, and not even with mipachas, lo mipachas, el bivgadeh of a kofach shal rosha. That she's kemosha isha besoch besa. That's good. From this halacha, sounds like a kofach is the least substantial head covering, and yet it's mutter, lechatchila, as he says in Perek Yud Gimel Hilchos Ishus, in a place where the women were noeg to wear a kofach. So what exactly is the difference between a kofach and mitpachas? I have absolutely no idea. If somebody wants to research head coverings among women in Muslim countries in the times of the Rambam and figure out for me exactly what he's talking about and how he's applying... Oh, these are terms I found in Chazal also, so how he's applying it to there, I would love to know. So in any case, so basically we've found two shitas. One shita is that the hair, for me, the Raisa partial hair covering is okay, and Das Yehudis, the hair has to be completely covered, and we don't know whether or not they hold that that's subject to change or not, that women could start covering less than all of the hair should they want to. And we have, according to the Rambam, where we have no indication per se, although again, it's not 100% clear, we have no indication per se whether midaraisa is permitted to uncover any hair at all, and yet, but midarabban, we know Das Yudas is completely subject to, practically speaking, what is the minag in those countries. So then we see, let's get to the Shulchan Aruch, source number 8. Shulchan Aruch is in Hilchos Kriyashma, where it's discussing the fact that you're not allowed to, that the woman's hair is erva, so you're not allowed to see a woman's hair in a place while you're saying Kriyashma or Devarim Shebikdusha. So the Ramah comments on the Shulchan Aruch, who says that it's only for married women, which is a whole different discussion whether the fact is true, that Chazal meant this for married women or not. But he says, the Shulchan Aruch says that the hair of an unmarried woman, a besula, is permitted to read Kriyat Shema in front of it because she never covers it. So the Ramah adds on, V'hu adin asayris shel noshim sheregilin latzeis michutz letzamosan. So this is also the case for hair of women that protrudes outside their hair covering. What exactly this is and what type of hair covering this is a major machlokas amongst the Achronim. But you could imagine that if the fact is that that it was absolutely unchangeable that a woman had to cover all of her hair, then this heter wouldn't be there. Unless some people say asvara, then maybe Cyrus Ayosis Chuset Samosim is not part of Cyrus Harosh. Doesn't count as hair of the head, because maybe it's on the sides or it's just sticking out back here or something like that. But all the hair on the head, even the Rama would agree that she does have to cover. But seemingly, based on the Tshuvas Mara Malashker that this is based on, this whole halacha of Sairish Shayotzes Chutzet Samosan, from there it just seems that it's totally on what the women are noheg to uncover or not. So you see that it might be the case that exactly what hair is permitted to be uncovered is subject, in fact, to the minhag hamakom. And Kol Shekhen, the Rambam adds, say our Nachris, a wig, afilo darka lachasos, even if she covers the wig, then it is mutter to read Kriya Shema in front of her. It's not a problem at all. So the issue of the sheitel is a long and sordid history as to how exactly it could, certainly in the times of Chazal and the Rishonim, the Jewish women did not wear sheitels to cover their hair. People poskim at it. So then at a certain point, probably when it became less accepted in common society for women to go around covering her hair, so was a lot of communities that women decided that was going to be sufficient that they wore wigs. They wore sheitels instead of the traditional types of head covering. So setting aside the issue of Maris Ayin or not, the sheitel, though, if you think about it, it really satisfies all the criteria that we've discussed for what's sufficient for Das Yehudis. Because we said either the pshat is, again, you could construct different types of shitas about these things, but the way we've set it up just now is either the pshat is that midaraisa, partial hair covering, is okay, but midarabanan, forever, it is an absolute din that a woman has to cover all of her hair when she goes out to the shuk, but it doesn't matter with what type of covering. And the other opinion is that maybe the ikar adin is she has to cover every single strand of hair, but it also doesn't matter. But with what type of covering she can cover it, she can cover her hair with, is completely subject to the minhag hamakom. So the minhag hamakom is that a woman wears a sheitel, and nowadays men are used to seeing women with uncovered heads all the time, so it's not really going to create her hurim. So all you're left is with the technical din that a woman has to cover her hair. So it seems to me, my humble opinion, that people who are bringing proofs, a lot of the tshuvas that about sheitels, Chacham Avadia's tshuva being very famous about it. All these tshuvas are bringing proofs from Chazal when it talks about women wearing wigs in the time of Chazal, whether it means that the woman actually wore the wigs outside, which is probably not the case in Achinami, or it was just something that you stuck under under the kerchief to make the woman look like she had more hair. But trying to bring proofs from Chazal whether a sheitel is mutar aser, to me, is a little bit misguided, that it should seem that it should go according to as long as the sheitel fulfills mehadrin, at least most sheitels, they have these newfangled sheitels where they take the hair out of the sheitel, which is, I'm not discussing, that's a problem of its own. But if you have a traditional full sheitel, so to me, according to both these understandings, it should not be a problem. It completely covers the hair, and it's in accordance with the way the woman, the minhag hamakom, that a woman wears a sheitel. And Shalom al Yisrael. So it seemed to me that it should not at all a problem. Unless a woman is super, super tzanua and, you know, whatever. So she seems to me that there's not really room to be machmer independently to avoid wearing a sheitel at all. Maybe it's not mechumra. Again, Hasidisha communities, if that's the minhag in the community, like you were saying earlier, the minhag in the community that a woman always wears a hat on top of a sheitel, so that's what you have to do. You have to go in accordance with the minhag hamakom. But a lot of minhagim of the makam have sort of broken down nowadays. Everybody just does what they want or what they were taught in school as opposed to adhering to the minhag hamakom. I was trying to, usually when this issue is discussed, it's the reverse. What happens if she wears a sheitel in a place where the minhag is not to wear a sheitel? I was saying up in the verse, I'm saying in a place where the minhag is dafka to wear a sheitel, she wears something else, maybe she's overall das yehudis. It's maybe a little bit more of a stretch in Achinami. I was just trying to set it up in a reverse way to be a little different, that's all. But in Achinami, if she wears a sheitel in a place, and if she goes to Kiryas Yoel and she wants to wear only a sheitel, then maybe she's Yotzei Zbalik Zuba. I thought the yisod was that it's just what's viewed as pritzistik in that makom. Because in a certain makomis, if the woman just wore a kerchief to cover her hair and she wasn't wearing this whole shawl that covered her whole head and shoulders, then that was considered pritzistik. Okay, on top of that. No, it's like a skirt. It's like a skirt instead of pants. It's not tight-fitting. It's saying it hides the shape of her body. That's my assumption. But and that was the pritzistik. If you didn't wear that, then that was pritzistik. That's why she, in a place where they were makbed dafka to wear it, she's the Yotzei Zbalik Zuba. So in any case, that's our excursion about Sheitlach. But on the other hand, you could imagine also that if there's a community where the women don't cover all of their hair, they just wear a hat or something that allows some hair to protrude, then that would be okay if that's the minhag hamakom. Because if you combine the shita that... I'm not saying this is l'chatchila what should be done. I'm just saying it's a limud zchus that if there's a community where this is the minhag, so if you combine the shita that midaraisa, you do not have to cover all of your hair, with the shita that Das Yehudis is dependent on the Minhag HaMakom, then that should be fine. Because as long as she's over, as long as they decide to keep the Daraisa, the women there are covering whatever shear of hair is the Daraisa, which we'll see in a second what that might be. So as if they let some hair stick out of the hat, then that should be okay. So the first source that's known that really freaks out about this, to excuse my language, is the Zohar. Source number 9. So Zohar in Parshas Naso. Amr b'chizkia tun v'leisei ahahu barnash d'shovag lintezei d'tizchazi misare d'reishu levar. So b'chizkia says that a ruach shtus or some bad thing should happen to a man who allows his wife that any hair of her head should be seen. Okay. V'tizad d'apikas misare d'reishu levar listakonaba. And certainly, not more than that, if a woman takes out some of her hair to display it to look nice, garam miskenusa lavesa, she's going to cause poverty. The garam livnad leischashim benara, her children are not going to grow up to be huge rabbanim. The garam milach or the shari bevesa, it's going to cause a sitra achara to dwell in the house. Man garam da hahusara dischazim reishal avar. What caused this? The hair that stuck out of her head out front to the outside. This is in her house, so certainly if she does this outside the house, then that's really, really bad. And so, I mean, there is, of course, the Gemara of Kimchis, why they asked her, why did you have these seven sons who became Kohanim Gedolim? So she says, because the walls of my house never saw my hair, but that's always assumed to be super, super firm practice. That's not considered to be halacha, but the Zohar here presents it as if it's absolute, really, really bad if the woman even shows, even in her house, displays any hair whatsoever. So who paskins like this Zohar famously? The Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says that since the women went beyond Das Yehudis, what the Gemara records. And since the women accepted on themselves this Zohar, that they don't display any hair at all, even in the house, then this is absolutely binding. So we can't change this minhag anymore, and from now on, all times, all, at least Ashkenazi women, have to cover all their hair, even inside the house. So that is the psak that is accepted in the Chassidische Welt. Because they like to go like the Chassam Sofer, and they don't change things, so since that was the minhag in Hungary, so that's what they do. However, the person who is famous for not paskening like this Chassam Sofer / Zohar is Reb Moshe. Everybody knows the famous heter of Reb Moshe that you're allowed to uncover up to a tefach of hair. So where on earth does he get this year? So look at source number 10. So he's asked explicitly, he's addressing the Chassam Sofer in his tshuva. So he's telling us that if you want to learn out from Sota that the Kohen uncovered the woman's head, that this is the mucker for the fact that a woman cannot uncover her hair in public, so it has to be that her hair is very much uncovered to be considered to be uncovered for these purposes. So he says, Kefishim ha-mistaber shechela gadol me'arosh l'din Sotu harbe yoser mitafach, much more than tafach. The rov arosh al chol apachos karov l'rov arosh, that he uncovered all the shear that shayach to be called ufaras rosh haisha is that it's most of the head most of the head, whatever that means. Mikamakom ha kalpanim yish lemeil of the chol arosh shumimakomas hamechusim. Okay, so he says v'chlechein kevan shebedim mekomas hamechusim yish chiluk bein tefach lefachos linyan ria shel bechavana. He calls the whole head a makam amechuse. Nevertheless, you're allowed to uncover part of it because you see from Sota that it's only really uncovered. That's considered to be uncovered, at least on the rice level. Yet, since the only shear we really find by something that's supposed to be covered that's uncovered is a tefach, so a mela, since you can't learn out that every single hair has to be covered from Sota, so therefore a woman could even display a tefach of hair lechatchila. That's okay, that's erva, but how you fit this in with Das Moshe Yehudis, again, is sort, you could make a limud chos on this, as I explained, but then why should the shear be limited to tefach? Okay, So the Chavanas HaRashba, that's the one who really introduces, by the way, the concept of Sara Yotze Chutzat Samosa, this hair that's quoted in the Ramah in Simen Ayin Hey. He quotes it from the Ravid. Shekeneged Asara Shemichutzat Samosa, Shein Miskasa, In Choshin Lehem, Aval Ein Raya Misham, Sheloha Yotzis Misham, Defshe Yotzu Misham HaTefach. Maybe it was much less than what it seems. So it seems that the way the Chasam Sofer is interpreting it is that it's just hair that if you like have a hairnet or something, then the little bits of hair that poke out of the hairnet are Sara Chutzat Samosa. And he says, even that's usher because the minhag is to cover even these types of things, even though Maker Adin, it should be okay. So he says, maybe that's not the pshat. Maybe Dilma Lohaisa Loveshes al Beged Echad Shu Tzamaso Metzamtzim Rak Ikar HaSiris. Maybe Sarah's Yotze Chutzat Tzamaso, she's wearing like a swimming cap or something like that. And there's lots of hair sticking out. Maybe it's just covering her head, and there's lots of hair sticking out. So maybe even that's mutter, even more than tefach, if she has something covering her entire head, and the hair of the head itself is mutter up until a tefach. So, okay, so if you want to go like the Mahalach that it could change that a woman has to cover every single strand of hair, so fine. So, Ramosha makes sense. The Shir of Tefach, again, this is borrowed from Erva. I don't know if it's exactly appropriate here. Why couldn't the Minag be to uncover more? I'm not exactly sure why that should be the case, but nevertheless, in many communities, they quote this Ramosha that a woman's allowed to cover, to uncover on purpose, she's allowed to uncover up to a Tefach of hair. So there are a lot of people who are not so happy about this tshuva of Ramosha. In fact, some people are a little revisionistic. There's a sefer called Ozva Hadar Levusha that details exactly what he thinks to be the laws of tznius. And he writes, no, Ramosha meant to b'shaset chag, you don't have to get divorced if your wife does this. Okay, seder. But that's the revisionistic aspect. But there are other poskim who say, no, Ramosha meant it, but he's wrong. They'll say that there's a whole kuntris called Mibad Litzamoseich. It's printed in the back of Shael Suchuvas Lahoros Nasan. I believe it's Chelik Hey. It goes on for pages and pages and pages and pages. He holds gigantic kuntris where he rips apart this tshuva of this rather short tshuva of Ramosha, 2.5 pages long. But he, again, his assumptions there, of course, is that all this is unchanging and whatever, so it's a woman absolutely has to cover all of her hair, there's no question about it. And again, you could argue with Ramosha's arguments, but nevertheless, the conclusion may be correct, as we pointed out before, that if they're in a community where they're knowing that way, so then a woman might be able to uncover a part of her hair. So, the most interesting source about this, perhaps, is Ramosha Sternbuch, who writes in source number 11, tshuva and tshuvas van hagos, he has a whole essay about why chas v'shalom, it's absolutely usur for women to display any strand of hair whatsoever. And this is also, by the way, why he likes shetels better than other hair coverings, because they're more successful at covering all the hair, which is also why one of the reasons that the Lubavitcher Rebbe was also very much in favor of shetels, because you won't take it off, you won't be embarrassed, and it covers every single strand of hair, so you'll be Mekayim the Zohar, very much against Chacham Avadia's approach, which is that it's mutter to uncover some hair, but it's also to wear a sheitel. Which is interesting. You never know what chumras and kulas a person are going to have. You could imagine. Okay, so he says, V'lifnei har beishanim haisa shmua b'rakodesh Yerushalayim. There was a rumor, a salacious rumor, flying around Yerushalayim b'rakodesh that al echad shehitir gilu Cyrus at tefach, that there was some rabbi somewhere who allowed women oivei to uncover up to a tefach of hair. What a gross apritzus, which is interesting because it must have, presumably he's quoting Reb Moshe. They could have been quoting someone else, but the tshuva wasn't published yet. In fact, the tshuva wasn't even written yet. The tshuva is dated Chaf Zayin Nisan Tafshin Chaf Aleph, which is 1961, and this is after the Chaznish was nifter. So he talks about discussing this with the Chaznish, so it must have been that he heard the ruling orally. So he doesn't like this, as you'll see if you look up the rest of the tshuva, why he's really upset about the idea of a woman uncovering any bit of hair. I asked the Chaznish, what about this ruling that a woman is out to uncover up to a tefach? So all the hairs of the head are completely asur. That's no shaila whatsoever. It does not have a shear of a tefach. Is it a biblical level prohibition that for a woman to show even one strand of hair besides yotzes chutz letzamasa, which he again limits to a very, very small portion of the hair? Hadavar aser min haTorah. It is a biblical violation for a woman to display one strand of hair in public. Now, this is a rather large chumrah. And based on, it's very interesting that the Chazon Ish would say such a thing. Why? Because if you reference his opinion about the dateline, for example, he is jumping, it's in Bachlokes between him and a lot of other Rabbanim, because the other Rabbanim say that the dateline is 180 degrees east of Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim is in the center of the world, and the Chazon Ish jumps up and down and screams that no, all the Rishonim who discuss the dateline say the dateline is really 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim, so we have to go with all the Rishonim who discuss the issue explicitly and not come up with our own svaris. So it's very ironic to me, if this is true, that the Chazon Ish would say such a thing, that even one strand of hair is aser min haTorah for a woman to uncover, because the only Rishon, you could say a svara like that. Obviously, you could say a svara that it's an issur d'oraisa for any hair to be uncovered, but the only Rishonim who discussed the matter explicitly say beferush, the midaraisa woman is allowed to uncover some of her hair. But it's not beferush. It's an inference from the Rambam. But the Rishonim in the Shita Mekubetzes quotes and the Rabbeinu Yonasan say explicitly that it's mutter for a woman to uncover part of her hair on a daraisa level. Again, the Rambam, it's sort of mashma like that.
And
doesn't hold like yeah. Okay, it sounds like that. Okay. What? What? Right. I'm saying you could infer certainly that there are shitas that is the case, the way the Chazon Ish said. I just said it's funny because the Rishonim will say mamish beferush. That's all I'm saying. Rishonim will say mamish beferush, say it's mutter. Again, you could imagine that it's usher. Fine. But the mice are the ones who say mamish beferush, say it's mutter. So, as far as I know, this is the only place that this Chazon Ish is recorded. I thought many times to write to Chaim Kanievsky about it, but I never actually did it. But I did ask Moshe Sternbuch about this twice. I asked him I got asked the same question twice. I got the exact same answer twice. I was hoping I would get a different answer. But I asked him, I said, the Rav writes in his Sefer that the Chazon Ish held that it's an issur d'oraisa for even one strand of hair to be uncovered in public. What was the Chazon Ish's raya for this? So he said, what do you need a raya for? If the Torah says that it needs to be covered, that means it needs to be completely covered. Okay, but the Rishon of affair is not like that. I didn't say that to him, but I was hoping for more elaboration. If he was in a better mood, maybe the next time that I asked him, but I got the exact same answer. What do you need a raya for? Okay. But, as you can see, that's not so pashut, that is, in fact, the case. So the final source I want to discuss is the Shevet HaLevi, who's also pretty religious, and he is also maskim to the Yesod that it's not an Issur D'oraisa for a woman to display part of her hair in public. Uvetshuvas Tshuras Shai, Daito noted, Im Rov HaRosh Mechuse Leis Kanol Kaponim Issur D'oraisa, that maybe the Shear Daraisa is Rove. I think Rabbi Yehuda Henkin also writes this, that the Shear is Rove. Okay, maybe it is. Mikomokom, Shita, the Ika Bezem, Mikomokom, Dasi Hudes, the Logar, Mikalta, the Hudover, Shesh Benekavim, Amipachas, Vama Bliradid, Vaidezek Tassarase, Megulos, Vigadadadadad. Okay, so he is going with the Mahalach that Dasi Hudes is completely unchangeable, it's an absolute rabbinic enactment. So he says, midaraisa and hachinami, it's mutter to uncover part of the hair, but absolutely dinder rabbanan, that a woman has to cover all of her hair in public. Verisi lemisha ratzel havi raya degamba mixas cyrus minatora mixuves tosvav amud beiz. That perhaps this was also part of the Chazon Ish's raya, although I didn't know the Shevet HaLevi at the time that I spoke to Moshe Sternbuch about it. Perhaps it's also part of his raya, the yotzeis rosha parua simin lebesula. The Mishnah says, in the beginning of the second parak of Ksubis, that one of the rayas that a woman was a besula when she got married is that she is carried from her father's house to the house of the chassan, when her hair is uncovered, Verosha Parua. So if that's the case, Vashita Mikobes is Hiksha the Hasar Minatora, Mi Paras Rosh Isha, Viteritz, Beshem Agonim, the Zedavka Mesuas, Lil Bibsulis. That the Yotz of Verosha Parua that's found by this Besula who's getting married is subject to an Isser Torah because of Paras Rosh Isha. No, that's the famous Teretz, that it's only a married woman and not an unmarried woman. Okay, whether everybody holds this Teretz or not, well, we're certainly passing like that, but if everybody holds this Teretz or not, it's a little bit questionable. Maikusha, Hagam behinuma varosha parua, ikar asiris mechusas behinua rakiyotzes, but rakiyotzes asiris al kisva laharoshi besula. The Gemara over there is talking about yotza behinuma varosha parua, which one of the pshatim in the Gemara is that it's some type of kerchief, and it's covering her head and her face. And what Rosh HaParua means is that her hair is like flowing loose on her shoulders. You can see, even though her head is covered, her hair is flowing loose on her shoulders. So then you see that even though only part of her is uncovered, it's still an Isser Daraisa, it's still considered Rosh HaParua, and therefore Usser, because they use the Lashon explicitly of Min HaTorah. So you see that's Usser Midaraisa, so it's a riot to what we've been calling the Shitas HaRambam, or the first day and the Shita Mikubetzas. But the Shevet HaLevi says that that's not true. Amy Shamraya, the Hahasam Hyosa bin Mechuvan, Pula Vitsura Kazosha Yitzia Sarah Shatera Kimo Besula Shisarah Samagulas. Then she's saying, that's different because it's more pretzisdik to have your hair flowing loose on your shoulders than it is to say wear your hat tilted back and you have a little bit of hair in the front showing. So therefore, the Sheva Alevi goes with his conclusion is, Nihid Vade Dilgarmi Das Yudas Kalav Isser Gomer Hu, there's your answer to your question, that he holds that it's, practically speaking, halacha lemaisa, it's an absolute Isser for a woman to uncover any part of her hair. Migimokom Shia Bezeh Isser Torah Mamash Ein Lanu Hochacha. So the conclusion of the Shevet Halevi is that you have two options for being Yotze, for being over on the Daraisa. One is, if you uncover most of the actual hair of your head, or even if your head per se is completely covered, if your hair is still flowing loose on your shoulders, even though it's only mixas of the seris, since that's pritzistik, that's also part of the daraisa of yotze v'rosha parua. However, the truth is, there might not be any proof at all from the sugya over there in Ksubis, because the pshat in hinuma, the yotze v'hinuma v'rosha parua, that's only one of the pshatim that the Gemara gives, that it's some type of kerchief. But the other pshat that the Gemara gives is that it's some type of chuppah made of myrtle branches. Or I saw also someone want to say, based on the Greek, that may think, maybe Jastro, I don't know, that he said that maybe it's some type of special chair that they used to carry the kala in from from her father's house to the chassan's house. So if so, then there's no indication that the kala was wearing a kerchief at all, and therefore we're only left with the idea that it's only an Isser D'oraisa if her hair is completely or mostly uncovered. But practically speaking, it seems to me, again, people do what they do and they don't necessarily listen to what rabbis, or certainly what I have to say about the matter, but Lemaisa, it seems to me that the correct practice is indeed for a woman to cover all of her hair, because of the Shash Daraisa, according to some opinions, and maybe it's an eternal Das Yehudis according to others. However, if there's a community where the women cover most of their hair or a large portion of their hair in a clear manner, not like a little hat sitting on top like the size of a bagel or something, probably that's not a good Daraisa, Mistama. But if they're still, if they uncover a miktsas of the hair, perhaps even more than a tefach, although if you go with Moshe, it's limited to a tefach matov manoim, but in such a community where women partially uncover part of the hair, as long as it's the minhag hamakom, there seems to be on what to rely for that.